Holy Ghost, amen. The Holy Ghost is the soul of the Catholic Church. Traditionally, on this day, we celebrate the birthday of the Catholic Church. For it was on this day that the Holy Ghost descended upon the body of the Church, that is, the Apostles and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as he breathed life into the world at creation, so he breathed in them the supernatural life, which is the soul of the Catholic Church. The fathers and doctors of the Church attest to this fact. St. Augustine says, "The Holy Ghost does in the whole Church what the soul does in all the members of one body." St. Thomas says, "The Holy Ghost lives in the Church and teaches it and sanctifies it." He also says, "By the Holy Ghost we are made one with Christ." St. Irenaeus, who was of the 3rd century, says, "Where there is the Church, there is the Spirit of God. And where there is the Spirit of God, there is the Church and all grace." And St. Augustine also says, "Let us believe, brethren, that to the extent that someone loves the Church of Christ, to that same extent he has the Holy Ghost." We also know from theological reasoning that the Holy Ghost is the soul of the Catholic Church. For we know from St. Paul that the Catholic Church is the mystical body of Christ. By comparison to a body, therefore, we know that our bodies are animated by our souls. And were it not for our souls, we would merely be cadavers. What makes our bodies to be human is our souls. Once the soul leaves the body rots in the ground. The body, therefore, of the Church is its visible society of members and institutions. The soul of the Church is its spiritual and supernatural part. That is, its faith, its charity, its grace, and the divine power and authority given to men. Namely, the divine power to confect the sacraments, to sanctify men, especially the power of changing bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the authority is that divine authority entrusted to the Church to teach, rule, and sanctify all men. Which authority is vested supremely and in a plenary manner in the Roman Pontiff. Just as the soul is what makes our bodies human, so also the Holy Ghost is what makes the Church to be the true Church of Christ. Theologians say that the soul is the form of the body. And the form of anything is what makes it to be what it is. Gold is gold because it has the form of gold. That is, it has a principle in it by which It is what it is, and not something else. So also, the Catholic Church is the true Church of Christ because, and only because, it has the Holy Ghost as its soul. It makes it to be what it is. For the Holy Ghost takes this visible society with its members and its institutions and transforms it into a society which has the means of bringing eternal salvation to the human race. What use would the society of Pope and bishops and members of the church be unless it had the power to give eternal life? Unless it had the power to teach infallibly? Unless it had the power to sanctify men with the sacraments? What use would such a church be? It is the Holy Ghost, then, which makes the church to be what it is, that is, the true, unique Church of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, the true sanctifier of men, outside of which there is no sanctification. That is why Saint Irenaeus says, "Where there is the Spirit of God, there is the church." They are identified, the Spirit of God and the church. Therefore, what is not of the church is not of the Spirit of God. Where the Spirit of God is not, there is not the church. The principal heresy of Vatican II is precisely concerning this point. Vatican II teaches that the Catholic Church is not the one true church. As the Catholics in the 4th century had to be firm on the divinity of Christ, for that was the heresy of the time, so also we must be firm on the fact that the Catholic Church is the one true church. For this is the heresy of Vatican II, and this is the principal heresy of John Paul II. This animates all of his heretical actions and sayings. The reason why, for example, he praises Martin Luther, who is a heresiarch and who taught that Christ committed adultery 3 times, is because he does not believe that the Catholic faith is the one true faith, and rather that the Spirit of God operates in the Lutheran Church and even operated in Martin Luther. The reason why he goes to Jewish synagogues, the reason why he permits the Buddha to be placed on the tabernacle of Catholic altars is because he does not believe that the Catholic Church is the one true church, the unique source of salvation. The reason why he offers cucumber skins to a snake in Africa, or the reason why he gets blessed by Indians with their demonic religions here, is because he sees the Spirit of God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, active in any kind of religion you can imagine. Even the worship of snakes. That is his principal heresy. And the reason why our holy sacrifice of the Mass that you see here was replaced by the Protestant worship service that you see in your churches today is because the modernists, John Paul II and people like him, want to please the Protestants because they see the Spirit of God working also in the Protestant church. And I will prove this fact to you from the very words of Vatican II. Listen to this text from the Decree on Ecumenism. In this one and only Church of God, from its very beginnings, there arose certain rifts, which the Apostle strongly censures as damnable. But in subsequent centuries, much more serious dissensions appeared, and large communities became separated from full communion with the Catholic Church, for which often enough men of both sides were to blame. There are two errors already there. First, the idea, which will be developed later in this text, of full communion versus imperfect communion with the Catholic Church. This text is going to say, as you will see, that Protestants are in imperfect communion with the Catholic Church. That means that they are in a certain way Catholic. This distinction of full communion versus imperfect communion is unheard of in the history of the Catholic Church. And it is a distinction which divides Christ. It divides Christ because in a certain way you're with Christ and a certain way you're not with Christ. Christ is, in a sense, cut up. But St. John says, he who divides Christ is Antichrist. The second error here is that it says men of both sides were to blame, as if the Catholic Church is responsible for the heresy of heretics, or responsible for the schism of schismatics. However, one cannot charge with the sin of the separation those who at present are born into these communities and in them are brought up in the faith of Christ, and the Catholic Church accepts them with respect as and affection as brothers. Therefore, they are saying that there is no sin in adhering to these false religions. And they are saying that those who are brought up in them are brought up in the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. So even those who do not believe that Christ is present in the Holy Eucharist are brought up in the faith of Christ. This is unimaginable. For men who believe in Christ and have been properly baptized are put in some, though imperfect, communion with the Catholic Church. Without doubt, the differences that exist in varying degrees between them and the Catholic Church, whether in doctrine and sometimes in discipline or concerning the structure of the Church, do indeed create many obstacles, sometimes serious ones, to full ecclesiastical communion. As if the only difference between us and Protestants is a difference of the plenitude of ecclesiastical communion. As if they belong to us and we belong to them, but there are a few differences. That's the implication. The ecumenical movement is striving to overcome these obstacles. But even in spite of them, it remains true that all who have been justified by faith in baptism are incorporated into Christ. They therefore have a right to be called Christians, and with good reason are accepted as brothers by the children of the Catholic Church. Therefore, it is saying anyone who is baptized is united by faith in Christ, no matter what he believes, no matter what heresy he embraces, and that they have a right to be called Christians. Moreover, some, even very many, of the most significant elements and endowments which go together to build up and give life to the church itself. And remember, that's the Holy Ghost, what gives life to the church. These things can exist outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. The written word of God, the life of grace, faith, hope, and charity, with the other interior gifts of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, they say, as well as visible elements. All of these which come from Christ and lead back to Him belong by right to the one Church of Christ. Notice they do not say belong by right to the Catholic Church, but rather they say to the one Church of Christ. For these modernists see the Church of Christ as a global, universal church to which the Catholic Church belongs, the Lutheran Church, the Presbyterian Church. And they are saying we are all guilty for dividing it up. Now it gets even more interesting. The brethren divided from us also carry out many little actions of the Christian religion, such as phony Eucharist, in ways that, according to the condition of each church or community, these liturgical actions most certainly can truly engender a life of grace. And one must say, can aptly give access to the communion of salvation. That's a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That the rites of heretics, of Lutherans and Presbyterians and schismatic Greeks, etc., would be a source of sanctification and even give access to the communion of salvation. In other words, that the Holy Ghost is in those ceremonies, and He sanctifies people through those ceremonies. So when the Protestant minister gives out the phony bread, that is the Holy Ghost sanctifying people in those ceremonies. And then it crowns off the whole heresy by saying this. It follows that the separated churches, with a capital C, and communities as such, though we believe they suffer from the defects already mentioned, have been by no means deprived of significance and importance in the mystery of salvation. Meaning that the bands of heretics, groups of heretics who have absolutely no existence as a body or an institution in the eyes of God, as a church, any more than a phony marriage is a marriage in the eyes of God or the church, that these bands of heretics have a significant and important role in the mystery of salvation. For, and this is the worst yet, for the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost, third person of the Blessed Trinity, has not refrained from using them, meaning these separated churches, read bands of heretics, using them as means of salvation, which derive their efficacy from the very fullness of grace and truth entrusted to the Catholic Church. That is to say, that the Holy Ghost in some way participates in all religions, and that the Catholic Church is not the unique Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a blasphemy. It is a heresy, a full-blown heresy. For it is opposed to the teaching of the Catholic Church that there is no salvation outside the Church, which means that the Catholic Church is the unique source of sanctification in the world. We therefore, on this Pentecost Sunday, make an act of faith in the Holy Ghost, as it says in the Creed, vivificantem, the vivifier, the giver of life, the giver of supernatural life to the members of the Holy Catholic Church. The Holy Ghost, who is the spirit of truth, not the spirit of heresy and the spirit of schism and the spirit of contradiction and the spirit of rebellion to the Catholic faith, but the spirit of truth, which is one with Christ. And the Holy Ghost, the soul of the Holy Catholic Church, which is the unique church of the one and undivided Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.